Advance in 2026. Our theme for the year, our church theme for the year, is one word. Last year, remember, it was receive. This year, it's the word advance. Advance. A simple word, but it communicates deeply what God's plan is for your life. He wants you to advance in 2026 in a special way. Now, in your notes, there's a definition of advance, and I've Jake put it up. It means to move forward in a purposeful way. I want you to grasp the word purposeful. It means forward progress. A week ago, the San Francisco 49ers played the Chicago Bears. The score was 42-38. The 49ers won. Anybody watch that game or part of it? I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw the recap. But the Chicago Bears, who were behind by 4 points, had the ball on the 49ers' two-yard line, 4 seconds left, last play of the game. The ball was snapped, and they tried to do a pass play. They were scrambling, but it was unsuccessful, and the 49ers won, 42-38. But there's one thing we can learn from that game. Whichever team that had the ball, there's one thing they wanted to do, and that was to advance it down the field and eventually score. So the word advance is our key word for 2026, and understand that God wants you to advance in your life this year. Now, the next 3 Sundays, we'll be talking about how to do that more in detail in different ways, but the title of today's message is this: How to Advance in 2026. I want to share with you some simple principles from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, and Jen talked about this story. The children of Israel, some 2 million of them, are on one side of the Jordan. The river is at flood stage, and God wants to lead and guide them into the promised land. And so they go throughout the camp, officials do, and give instructions to the people to prepare for their advancement. And out of this story, there's 4 simple principles that I think apply to each of us. That if you want God's best in 2026, what he wants for you, we're mindful of his leading and we act and advance accordingly. So let's get started in your notes. Point number 1 of how to advance in 2026. Number 1, discern the leading of the Holy Spirit. If there's one principle that we all need to understand and embrace for 2026 to be the best year of our life, it's this one. Now, read with me verses 2 and 3 from Joshua 3 in your notes. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Now understand, there's something called the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. It was a different dispensation or era at that time. And this is a picture of the ark. It was a rectangular box plated in gold. It was the Holy of Holies. It was God's presence to the people. The priests carried the ark using these poles. And the principle was, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence moving out, you're to follow. The same is true if you do not see the movement of the ark. You stay put. And so the people had this rhythm that when the ark moved. They followed God. Now, in John chapter 10, it's in your notes, Jesus had these words. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Do you realize that God wants you to hear his voice as you make decisions about this coming year? of like, where do I go to work? Should I get married? Should I not? The whole life crisis issues, God wants to direct us, and the secret is this. You look for and listen for his leading. Jesus said his sheep, that's us, human beings, listen for and hear his voice. There's a simple principle here, and it's this. God speaks to those who take time to listen. If you're trying to figure something out in your life, if you get alone with God through prayer, reading his word, you can talk with other people, but just listen for God's voice. It may not be audible, but it's an instinct of your spirit of whether you go to the right or to the left. Now, in your notes, I made a list of different voices that we listen to. Life is full of clutter. It could be culture. Culture is Hollywood. It's what we see on television. And, you know, well, we can live like what we want. If it feels good, do it. But God has principles in his word of moral purity and this whole thing about our life is, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, culture is not our ultimate voice. Neither is social media. That can be good, but it can be bad. There's darkness there. And so we have to be careful that while we might use it, I do, we have to be careful and have guardrails when we do use it. Letter C, friends and family. You know, they're a big voice into our life. Parents, brothers, sisters, and so forth. You know what? That can be an amazing thing if it's positive. On the other hand, it could even be negative. And so friends and family aren't the ultimate voice. And letter D is ourself. We have a choice to make. We make decisions, and if we just consult ourselves, we operate within our our own wisdom. But these are voices that tend to clutter the landscape. But understand, the ultimate voice to God's blessing, to advancing in life, is his voice into our lives. Mark Batterson, there's a quote in your notes, and I'll have Jake put it up. Let's read this together. I'd rather have one God idea than 1,000 good ideas. I want you to soak that in. When you get a hold of a God idea, his plan, his purpose, his mission, let me tell you, that changes everything. As I've thought about the church, there have been different God ideas that have risen in ways of ministry or the building program. And somebody made a simple comment, and it changed everything. I've shared this before. Before we even bought this property, Ron Lynn stopped over at the parsonage on Griswold Street. He was still working. He made a comment. He says, you know what? The Harvey property would be a good place for a church. Short conversation, got back into his vehicle, and he took off. But what happened was it set in motion a whole bunch of things, and it just took one idea. It's a God idea that takes root. The same thing is true in your life. When you get a hold of a God idea, it can make all the difference in your life rather than settling just for good ideas. Here's a picture. Good idea or God's idea? Discernment. When we discern it and understand it and we say, God, show me the path I am to take, it makes all the difference. The children of Israel had a God idea. It was time to move to cross the Jordan. All right, number two. The second principle in this story is that we must act on God's leading. So read with me verses 3 and 4 in your notes. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Here's what the instructions were. When you see the ark, God's presence moving, you follow it. If it doesn't move, You don't go anyplace. You stay put. You let him lead. But the key thought is we must move out from where we're at. It means to pull up your tent stakes. It means that we're on a new journey. We are traveling in a new direction. We literally have a fresh stage of God's redemptive work in our lives. There's a newness to it. And he calls people to move out. We leave our comfort zones. Acting on it is the key. Here's a quote by Tony Evans. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Soak that in. When you take a step of faith because you feel like God is in it, you are acting like God is telling you the truth. And so anytime God leads people to a new territory, a new season of life, a new stage, it will require taking action on the idea he plants in our hearts. Okay, number three. The third point about advancing is this. We must dedicate ourselves to God. In Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Circle the word consecrate. Here's what it means. Consecrate is to set apart or to be dedicated to God, devoted to a holy purpose. So God is calling us to consecrate and devote ourselves to him. So Pastor Jack and I, we watched this movie, Overcomer, this past week, and there's a scene in there of the coach visiting someone in the hospital. The guy's pretty sick, and the guy who's pretty sick is asking questions of the coach. And he says this. He says, well, who are you? And the guy says, well, I'm a coach. And then he says, well, I'm also married, so I'm a husband. And also I have some kids, so I'm a father. And then he says, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm a follower of Jesus. And so the guy who's sick in bed says this. He says, well, that's interesting. The fourth thing you mentioned was being a follower of Jesus, which means, is it really your top priority? And what came, the point of the whole thing was this. We can have God in our life, but he's choice number four. We're a believer, we're a Christian, but God is looking for people who are consecrated, dedicated, and devoted, who he's number one. Because those are the people he will take and lead into the promised land. Those are the people he will bless. Those are the people he wants to use in life. And God is calling us individually and as a church to get devoted, dedicated. You know what? How you can tell where you're at in this whole thing? Is God number one or is he number two, three, or four? I was thinking about it, and here's my answer to it. It's not what we do on Sundays. We come to church. That's a good thing. But here's the question. What does your life look like Monday through Saturday? What are you doing with your time? Are you all in some kind of ministry? Are you committed to the soup program? How are you serving people? Am I on fire? Do I do life groups? Do I try and better myself? God is looking for people who are devoted, dedicated, consecrated, that are all in. And how you answer the question to Monday through Saturday will tell you if he's number one, he's number two, number three, or number four. But understand, God just wants us to be set apart and passionate and alive and dedicated to his purposes. Here's a quote. God gave himself to you, give yourself to God. 2026, the challenge is this. If you want God's best, we discern his leading. We say, God, show me what you want me to do. Where do you want me to go? What's your mission for my life? Secondly, I'm going to act on it. I'll be obedient. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to give myself fully to his calling. I'm going to dedicate myself to God. Number four. The fourth thing about advancing is this. We can then watch God do amazing things. Read with me, Joshua 3:5. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Circle the word amazing. Everybody here is a candidate for God to do amazing things in your life in 2026. If we just follow him and we fill our heart with him, he will do things that are marvelous, wonderful, beyond our own ability, just because he's God. And read with me now Habakkuk 1:5. "Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told." I was up at the jail Friday using some of these same verses, and I love Habakkuk. You know what it says? I told some of the inmates, I said, "You know what? Something could happen in your life in September or October of this year that you wouldn't even believe if somebody told it to you today if you give God that opportunity." You know why? He has a promised land for you. And they were listening and so forth. I mean, that's who God is. If we get on his page, we get in sync with him, we can watch him work. And something could happen later in this year for you that you wouldn't even believe if somebody told you today. That's how big God is. And I want us to know everybody here has got a promised land. God wants you to cross over the Jordan. He wants to you follow his leading. He wants you to obey it, act on it. He wants you to be dedicated to him. And then you literally watch God do amazing things in your life. Just because you want to advance for the purposes of God in your life. Here's a couple quotes. "Put God first and watch amazing things happen." 2026 could be the best year of your life in walking with him. None of us know what's going to happen, but we have to just continue to trust. And when we put him first, it says he'll do amazing things for us, in us, and through us. So here's our key word for the year. It's advance. It means to carry the ball down the field. The challenge to us individually and as a church, this year, 2026, how is God leading you to advance his kingdom, sharing Jesus' grace extended to other people? How's he leading you to make a difference in the world we live in locally and abroad? He's calling us all to advance. So I've asked some people that are going to come and share. The first is Jane. Then we're going to have Kevin. And then Jake's going to come. We've got three people. And they're going to talk about their ministries and how God is seeking to advance his cause through what they're doing. And so Jane's the first one up, and she's going to talk about Operation Christmas Child. But I want you to catch the fact that God is at work in our midst, in our ministries locally and abroad, and it's all because people get an idea and they run with it. Jane, come on up. You can clap. Welcome Jane to the class.
Good morning, church family. So as we talk about the theme of advance for the new year, advance, to move forward, to take steps of faith. And we had such great momentum with Operation Christmas Child this past year. It was by far one of the best, if not the best year. So we need to continue taking our steps of faith, and we've set the goal for 1,000 boxes. So, you know, that's 1,000 gospel opportunities to bless 1,000 children. So we're going to take that step. And to advance the OCC ministry, I kind of see it as a two-prong, like local and community. And the local part I see as our church family, the momentum that we have to keep that going. We're going to have events and fundraisers, This Soup It Up, the second Tuesday, is my week, and I would like to invite everyone to come fellowship, share a meal, and then after the meal, we'll get together and we'll do some projects for OCC. There's going to be events coming up. We're going to have a sewing day. We're going to, of course, have our mac and cheese cook-off and do all of that in preparation for our goal of 1,000 boxes. And for the community, I'm really feeling called to share our passion, our call to serve OCC with our local churches. You know, there's others that are starting to step up, and I really feel if we support and encourage them, we could advance the ministry of Operation Christmas Child throughout our community. So as we answer the call to serve, and we take those steps of faith, that's what I see will advance the ministry of Operation Christmas Child in this new year. Thank you.
Hello. So, a good share of you know me on a personal level also, but there's some in here that probably don't. So I want to briefly share a little bit of my own background, so some of this might make a little bit more sense as I go forward. My day job, I'm paid to make decisions over equipment, personnel, people, jobs, monies. And there's not a lot of pushback on that, my upper management, but I have a pretty good, pretty heavy-handed influence on that. So with that being said, Larry had touched on some things today and in the past, and one of the things that I struggle with my walk with the Lord and here with the church is the fact that when things don't go the way I want them to go or go fast enough, I have to kick back and kick that to the Lord, where I'm used to being paid just to make decisions, and those decisions, things happen. So why I'm bringing that up is the 2026 year, we're looking at about $250,000 worth of projects that we're taking on here at the church, which is a pretty significant number. There's two real main things that we're looking to do. One is the playground. So we've been working on the playground now for quite a while, getting ready to sign contracts. The plan was to already have signed contracts in place as of today, or actually last year. In November, I found out that the salesperson that we had been dealing with to do those contracts had been terminated, and nobody had picked up us as the account. So we're kind of in a limbo. January 1st, we're looking at least a 10% increase in cost on this playground. And that's where I'm going to back where my day job is. I don't have that type of struggle. We're here, I couldn't make things happen in the timeline I wanted to. So I had to finally kick it to the Lord. And once I resigned to do that, it's amazing, it smoothened out. And the aggravating part, I guess, for me is I know better. I still sometimes just don't do it, even though I know I should. So anyway, with that being said, we now have received the extensions. We have our new contract. The manufacturer is holding all the prices and all the quotes that we had back in 2025 through to spring of 2026. So we're not looking at any increases. The vendors have picked up their game a little bit. We're still looking to be completely on our original timeline. So as far as the impact to the church and the community, there will be none. I mean, no negative impact. The other one we're looking at is the roof of the church is getting pretty bad, so we're going to be looking to replace that. Now, how I want to connect it all up is, for example, when we did a pavilion, for example, I don't know how many people use the pavilion. There's no metrics that I have that I can measure and give you guys, say, hey, that pavilion cost us X amount of dollars, this playground's gonna cost us X amount of dollars, but that is specifically gonna bring this number of people to Christ. I have no idea. Kind of like when Larry had preached in the past and different times I've heard many on planting the seed. This church does a great deal for the community. The funerals that we have here, just one of the biggest things that we do on a regular basis that are for people that are not necessarily here, but it reaches out. So like with a roof, we maintain this structure. We have the ability to reach out to people, whether it's bridal showers, birthday parties, just to soup it up, whatever we're doing. I feel the playground is going to be under that same air. I don't know who is directly going to come connected with God after that, But I can't believe somebody will not be touched in the community. Even if it's no more than that, it gives them a safe place for the children to come over and play, and then they feel comfortable on the church property, and they start attending services. So everything that we're doing, like I said, it doesn't have an immediate measurable tool that I know of, but we are planting the seeds, and we're moving forward with the faith that it will happen. And I don't want to get babbling too much here, but like I said, I just wanted to share some things with you from the original that I know there's places in my life that I can make definitely major improvements in this, and I doubt that I'm probably the only one in this room that feels that they can't make improvements when it comes to walking with the Lord, but it wouldn't be the first time I've been wrong, and it won't be the last time, folks. So, but anyway, I just want to thank you guys for the support, and want to bring you up to speed of just where we are. We do have some significant projects coming forward, and with everybody's prayers and blessings, they will turn out to be very fruitful for the community and everyone around us. So, thank you.
Good morning. I kind of see you with Advance. There's two different ways to look at it. Obviously, I'm in youth ministry, and I can see that in two ways. You can advance spiritually, and you can advance as a group. Kind of have a few different things for each one. Advancing our group, NTS is our summer camp that we've been going to, and that actually hits both of those marks. Just a great camp, and we want to get more kids into that. Social media really engages the kids. I don't love it, but they're all on it. So I kind of want to work into getting that into our group and getting us more out there to have more kids on it. We have a great group of girls in the back, and they're all great leaders. And we're talking about doing an in-school Bible club is another way that we're trying to outreach more. And then it's trying to cater to more kids that didn't necessarily grow up in the church. So like getting them interested in sports or different activities is another way that we're trying to advance how our group goes. So, yeah. So thank you for all your support.
So thank you, Jane and Kevin and Jake. So there's many other leaders in the church, but I wanted those folks to share with you the plan for 2026. Good things are happening. And is there anything greater in life than to be a part of a group of people that love and care for each other and to be on mission in a purposeful way for God's purposes? That's a sweet blessing. Well, this time, Pastor Jack's going to come and begin our communion ritual. So Jack, come on up.